Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Christ's body working together in the world. Friends, I'm so encouraged by Tim and Olivia and their family. At a busy life stage, with small children, they've begun a whole new season in life with CMS. One of our values at CMS is living cross-shaped lives. Cross-shaped lives. And we can see Tim and Olivia living lives shaped by Jesus as they engage with God's people in Cambodia. As a church, you share in this ministry with them, and so I hope you're encouraged too. Welcoming the unexpected. The Bible reading we heard today is a story of the unexpected being welcomed. You know, there was a time not long ago, and perhaps in some churches still, when only particular types of people were welcomed. People considered family and friends. People who dressed the right way or thought about a whole range of things in the right way. People who did the right things. But we see in this reading, don't we, Jesus turning all of that upside down. God's message to you and me is simply one word: come. Come. Rich and poor, insiders and outsiders, loved and unloved, it was and is a message of God's love and grace for all of us. We've done nothing to deserve it. God simply wants us to come. And this welcoming love is the kind of love that has the power to challenge us and change us. It's what people in Jesus' day had been waiting for. The coming of a kingdom and the coming of a king. Let me tell you a bit about my background. My mum was English and she loved Queen Elizabeth. Hands up if you loved Queen Elizabeth. It's okay, I won't be offended if your hand doesn't go up. And if she'd ever been invited to a dinner with the Queen, she would have moved heaven and earth to have gone. I can't imagine any excuse she would have given not to have gone. And in reply to the comment that it'll be a blessing to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God, Jesus tells this story of a certain man, a great man, preparing a great feast and sending out many, many invitations. Remember what it said in verse 18? He tells us that one by one, those invited gave their excuses. Remember what they were? Sorry, I've just bought a field and I want to check it out. Sorry, I've just got some oxen and I want to try them out. And sorry, I've just got married. The master, the king who issued these invitations, is furious. Why? Because his people are doing what? They are just getting on with all the business of life. Now, don't get me wrong, friends. Jesus isn't saying he has a problem with marriage or commerce. I don't think that's the point. But he's pointing out that when the king says, come, follow me, everything else is put aside or put into perspective. Yes? Why? Because he's the number priority. Who is it doing the inviting? This is the king. And it's one thing to turn down an invitation from a friend. But if it's God doing the inviting, it's not just rude, it's insane. And yet that's what was happening in Jesus' day. And it's still happening today. People, even religious people, putting other things before God. How would you feel if you invited family and friends to a very, very special occasion, a special dinner, and one by one they gave poor excuses? Sorry, I've just bought a house down the coast. I want to check it out. Sorry, I've just got a new laptop. I want it sorted out. And sorry, I've just got married. We want time by ourselves. Would you feel hurt? Rejected. We hear that the master is furious. His own people won't come. So he sends invitations to outsiders. People who would never have expected an invitation to come are invited. Perhaps people like my mum. Go quickly into the streets and alleys and invite in the poor, the blind, the crippled and the lame, the servant said, but there is still more room, master. So then go out into the country lanes and the roadside and the hedges and urge everyone to come because my house must be full. Think about it, friends. What incredibly good news. Good news for those who are often overlooked. Good news for those who are often forgotten. God's invitation to come is for everyone, including each of us here. The gospel is the message that through Jesus, we're invited into a relationship with the King of the universe, the Sovereign Lord. We're invited to know his forgiveness, love, and grace, to be welcomed into his kingdom. But we're not just invited to know it, we're invited to show his forgiveness, love, and grace. Just as we've been welcomed, we're called to share through our words and deeds that invitation and that welcome with others. Yes? Living cross-shaped lives that point people to Jesus. I'm so excited by your partnership with Tim and Olivia and the kids. And Tim and Olivia have shared a few stories about what it means to live cross-shaped lives. And I'm going to share three of those stories this morning. Now, some of you may know, a little while ago, Tim was quite unwell. Actually, he was really unwell. He was in hospital with nosebleeds and a fever for a week. This is the hospital where Tim works. Now, usually in that situation, family members help care for relatives in hospital. But Olivia needed to look after the children. So Tim, think about this for a moment, Tim received round-the-clock care from the hospital staff. It was a wonderful demonstration of Kamea staff showing God's love and care for a powerful but helpless white Western doctor. They were living cross-shaped lives. Khmer disciples giving and Tim receiving. Second story. Recently, a guard from the hospital, Mercy Medical Centre, turned up at Tim and Olivia's Cambodian church, sobbing and full of shame. His son had been killed the night before in a motor accident. He was looking for money to pay for his son's Buddhist funeral and cremation. What would you do? Well, just as Jesus responded to the needs of those around him with compassion, the church elders went outside, listened to him. They put arms of compassion around this sobbing man and prayed for him in the midst of his loss with compassion. But they then decided as a church they would give money to pay for his son's funeral. That night they went to the guard's home to pray for him and his family in the midst of the grief, and then some of them went afterwards to the funeral. Now, in their newsletter, Tim and Olivia asked, "What might you do?" As Christians, we want to be slow to make quick judgments, but also be wise. Whether you should pay for a Buddhist funeral is one thing, but would Jesus have ignored the plight of a man who reached out to this church at a time of great emotional and financial need? Friends, telling the story of the gospel means demonstrating that love, the love of Christ in practical and caring ways. We want to live out Jesus' invitation, don't we? As we are confronted by culture and life and stories in all of its complexity, and all that confronts and all that challenges us, life in the real world, life in the ragged world we live in, here are some questions we can ask ourselves as disciples of Jesus, especially as we think about telling this story of the gospel. Do we pray for those the Lord has placed around us, that we'd have opportunities to show Jesus' love, to tell the story of the gospel in words and deeds? Are we keen to listen to their stories and experiences? Are we slow to make judgments as we walk a mile in their shoes? Are we willing to receive, to learn from others, as well as give? And most importantly, as people share their stories with all that makes them up, all that's confronting and all that's challenging and all that's good and all that's disturbing, as they share their stories, are we thinking, how does God's big story connect with that story? Because it will at some point or other. It's designed to. Final story from Tim and Olivia. Their Cambodian church has been trying to find ways of connecting, embedding themselves in the life of their local community. Ways to be involved, including visiting the parents of children who attend Sunday school but without their parents. The children smiled when they saw church members visiting their parents in their homes. Now, make no mistake, there's a cultural dynamic there. The parents were pleased church members reached out to them, and they were able to honour church members by having them come into their homes. And Tim and Olivia invite the hospital staff to their home for a meal once a month. What a great way for them to show hospitality while building friendships. There's also opportunities for them to learn and practice the Khmer language, learn it from their friends and learn new recipes and ways of preparing food. And of course, Tim and Olivia over time are praying that they might have opportunities as they embed themselves in the lives of those people to share the good news of the Lord Jesus in words and deeds, to tell that gospel story. And as they pray for opportunities to read the Bible with some of their new friends. As we think about our busy lives, investing in people comes with a cost, doesn't it? It comes with a cost, because investing in people means giving them our most precious resource, which is time. Make no mistake, friends, the currency of love is time. Especially in a culture where we increasingly hear we don't have it. Building genuine relationships for the sake of the gospel may well involve a rethink of our priorities. But it also may simply mean inviting someone to join us in the things we already do. Having dinner, going to the market or a garden centre, heading out for a day trip somewhere. Friends, I wonder what this looks like for you. I wonder how you're investing in people the Lord has placed around you. What does living a cross-shaped life look like for you? Perhaps you actively notice people around us and how you could care for them. Perhaps, as a church, you've recognised the people living in your community and how you both give and receive. Perhaps you already pray for those who think they're not worthy to receive an invitation to God's banquet, that they might hear and respond to the invitation to come. I wonder what stories you can share with one another to be encouraged about how the Lord is already at work, or how he might be at work right here amongst and through his people in this church. You know, as I look out at this community of faith, I'm so encouraged when I see the increasing multicultural nature of it, Bible readings, presumably Farsi, people from a Farsi-speaking background in the subcontinent and some with an African background. A multicultural community where we are not saying, hey, come here, assimilate into our dominant culture, but actually when we talk about the ministry of giving and receiving. Come, we have so much to learn from you, as you have to learn from us, as we submit our lives together, whatever our background, whoever we are, whatever we've done, under the sovereign rule of the King. Isn't that something awesome to be involved in? People who are challenged and changed by this radical love, this radical welcoming grace. Whoever you are, wherever you're from. Farsi speaking Bible studies, how awesome is that? And I can imagine how those involved in the English classes would have stories of how they receive as well as give. Let's share those stories with one another and celebrate God's radical love. Now, as Tim and Olivia and the family build long-term relationships in Southeast Asia, they're extending God's kingdom invitation. But you know what? They're also praying and giving thanks for you as you invest in long-term relationships. Loving family, friends, work colleagues, neighbours. They're praying that through you, God is extending his kingdom invitation to come. This is gospel partnership. Supporting and encouraging one another as we all seek to see a world that knows Jesus. So friends, please hear from CMS and from Tim and Olivia and the kids, please hear that you are a vital part of their ministry team. As you pray for them, as you care for them, and as you financially partner with them through CMS, thank you for that partnership. Now, if you don't already receive their newsletter, here's information about how to receive it. This technology is still amazing to me, to be honest, as a boomer. Call me a Luddite. But I'm still amazed. You can point your mobile phone at it and it takes you directly to something very important about the Moherans, and I don't understand how it happens or why, but it does. Really awesome. Of course, there is prayer cards down the back, and I'd love for you to have one of these cards on your fridge. Or if you need to sign up and you want particularly to receive information from them, I've got a notice board for you to do that after the service. And I'm so excited about being able to tell stories of what Tim and Olivia are doing, which is your ministry, just as they're blessing you through their stories. Of course, if you'd like to financially part with them, you can use the link or sign up for that to occur. The point is, this morning, friends, and it's good news, Jesus invites us to come and follow him. It is a message of knowing God's love, grace, and forgiveness, and showing God's love, grace, and forgiveness. So let's live as people who proclaim and live this message to those around us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you invite us to come to you, that through Jesus you welcome us just as we are. Please strengthen and encourage Tim and Olivia and their family as they live out that welcome to those around us. Strengthen and encourage all of us as we seek to live out that welcome to those around us. That through your people, may others hear and respond to the invitation of Jesus to come. In his name we pray. Amen.